I opened up my calendar Monday through Friday to any open slots, which was a huge mistake. So what I did to correct that was on our back-end system of how we schedule the podcast, I did it specific times, specific days to be like, this is when I'm going to record, or I'll have those open slots for other things as well.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Welcome back to the podcast on podcasting. It's your host, Adam A. Adams. And about a month ago, or maybe 2 months ago now. Wow. Time flies. About a month or so ago, I was at an event and I met this author there, just like a really cool, down-to-earth, genuine guy. And if you've ever heard of Mike Michalowicz, I've read, I don't know, three of Mike's books. And Dave Richter took one of those books and it's called Profit First. If you've heard of that, we will link below. Of course, that'll be an affiliate link so I can make 50 cents when you buy the book. Boom, down in the show notes right now. So here's the thing. Actually, Dave, should I call you Dave or David?
I do like David.
Done. David partnered up with Mike Michalowicz. Does Mike like Mike or Michael?
He likes Mike.
I'm sorry. Just totally random stuff. Here it goes. The thing that I wanted to say is David partnered with him and they created another book called Profit First for real estate investors. David's podcast is Profit First for REI.
Yeah.
Go find that now. You don't have to type it in. You can. But also, if you scroll down and check out our resources, his podcast link is right there. So you're an author. You're a podcaster. I saw you have over 60 episodes published as the day that we're recording this. You're in the 60s. Congratulations. I'm sure you've learned a lot, but you're just a remarkable person that has achieved some really cool things. If I can let the listener know, the bio is already in the show notes. This is how it works with all of our people. I'm dyslexic. I don't want to read a long bio. So I put that burden on you. So you scroll down and you can check out David's bio right now. But he's done over 850 real estate deals in the past 7 years. So he did 50 like solo, just him, and another 800, basically running almost every hat that there is when it comes to like acquisitions, dispositions, managing the deal, all of the stuff. He's done really cool things like turnkey, if you've ever heard that, or the BRRRR strategy, which is like the BRRRR strategy means buy, rehab, rent it out, refinance, and just keep repeating. So it's B-R-R-R-R, lots of R's. And he's done tons of other stuff. So you should definitely go and check out his podcast. He has a lot of experience. Obviously, he's well-connected, writing this book with Mike Michalowicz. And you'll see the rest of his bio as you scroll down. But here's the place where I want to start. Even though it's not specifically about podcasting, you have, if I'm not mistaken, is it chief operations or no, chief financial officers? You have a whole bunch of these people helping small businesses like mine, so I don't have to pay someone $250,000 a year.
Exactly. Yep. That's what I run, Simple CFO Solutions.
And you are a good person to bring that up because like you realized that when you scaled this business, I think it was from 5-ish deals a month to like over 25 deals every month, you were the one who noticed, hey, but it doesn't really look like we're pulling a profit even when we're doing millions of dollars probably each month. But like, where's the money going? And so you kind of came up with that. If you don't mind, give us a quick like explanation of who you serve and how you serve them. And then we'll jump into the episode.
So Simple CFO, it was born out of a labor of love. Like I said, I saw that just as much was coming in the door, more was going out. And I realized like, hey, most people just don't understand. If you're a business owner in general, that's probably one of the things that is the most neglected is the financial side. And talking with someone who actually talks to you and with you rather than talking down to you or above you. And
I get a lot of that, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy. Keep going.
So that's where I wanted to create a company of fractional CFOs, because what a fractional CFO is, just like you mentioned, Adam, was most people, when they think of CFO, they think of $150,000, $250,000 employee that's sitting there. And while that is true for a lot of corporations, a lot of businesses start to make money. They're like making 500, a million, into the several million dollars, but they still don't have enough to pay a full-time CFO. But they need to be talking about their finances, not neglecting it. They need to be paying taxes. They need to be like having these conversations, and they need to be mitigating their taxes and not paying taxes, you know? And it's like, we need to have those conversations. So that's why I started Simple CFO. I am a big fan of the cash flow system too, Profit First. As Adam mentioned, that's why I went to Mike Michalowicz last year, said, I need a meeting with you, and got on the phone with him and talked about writing this book, because as a real estate investor, I wanted to bring this cash flow concept to real estate investors because it's so cyclical, so up and down. So we help people in the real estate investing world, but also just if you're making between 500,000 to 10 million, that's usually where we come into play as a fractional CFO.
Can I interrupt you about making 500,000? Let me please understand, what is making 500,000? So if we're pulling in, let's just say gross $100,000 a month.
Yeah.
And let's just say we're spending about 65,000. I might be using myself as an example every month. Is that 35-ish leftover thousand does not add up to 500,000. So I'm curious if we're talking gross or if we're talking about like net.
I'm talking gross. So if you're grossing that, because what we do, what we specialize in is increasing that bottom line, increasing the bottom line profit, like you were saying. So making sure that 35 goes up and that the owner pays himself more. That's what we want to make sure, that the owner is benefiting from their business. That's why, that's the true reason we started Simple CFO.
That's really cool. So how does the company look now?
So Simple CFO has 8 CFOs on the team. And right now we've got a whole training system that we do and put people through a rigorous process of getting certified by Simple CFO and have 10 people going through that, because we need to keep up with the demand. We see that not only do people want this and want to talk about their finances in a very safe space, but it's also, we're increasing people's bottom line. Just last week, we had an owner that was able to take $50,000 out of his profit account, an account that we help him set up just for the profitability of the company. And those are the types of things that we do. So we're just keeping up with demand, and we see that we need more CFOs on the team as we take on more people. So that's kind of where we are right now.
Awesome. And for me, and probably the listener, in case we're in this range of 500 gross to, I think you said 10 million gross. Yep. How do we know how you charge? Are you able to share any of that on the podcast? Because I'm definitely thinking CFO. I dated a girl whose dad was a CFO for a bigger company, and he made about $600,000 a year, and just a ton of money for somebody who has a stable job. The thing is, I'm looking at myself being like, am I going to be able to pay somebody $250,000 to $600,000 a year? Just one employee. You'd have to be a pretty big company to be able to do that. And there are a lot of CFOs, I think, that went through all that school. It's rigorous. And then they probably won't want to work for me for $50,000 a year or $100,000 a year, just because I think they know that they're worth a little bit more than that. So how do you guys charge? Like, what's it going to cost us, if you can?
Yeah, for sure. I'm happy to share this because I love what we do up front. We have a process up front to assess the business for a flat amount to make sure a couple things, like what are your biggest needs, and starting to put those pieces in place, give you an actual deliverable plan up front. That also helps us know, do you actually have the money on a continuous basis to work with the CFO? Because as a CFO, we're not just some other vendor of like, here, pay me money. And even if you don't have it, and here's what we want to make sure that you're profitable and that this is a good financial decision for you. So that's why we do the upfront, because a lot of people that come to us don't even have their numbers in place. They don't know that 100,000 gross and they're making 35 at the bottom. So a lot of people don't even know that. So first we're going in to assess, can we get these numbers? Can we help you nail that down? Then from there, that usually takes 30 to 60 days. Then after that, we say, okay, how we charge is we do 1.5% to 6% of the gross revenue on a monthly basis. We lock in that depending on the complexity, size of the company, and what we believe your return can be after we do some of our internal calculations of like, this is what you're paying yourself now. I believe we can get you to 2 to 3 times that. So there's some things that we look at internally, but that's the range, 1.5% to 6% of the monthly gross profit, because this is also a very key decision we made internally, because you shouldn't be spending a certain percentage of your gross profit on different areas of your business. So we wanted to make sure we align with that. And we want to make sure that we help you actually grow too. So that's how we price our model.
So trying to do the math, if I'm like 100 even, the absolute most per month, by the way, the most that I would spend per year is about 72,000.
The most, correct. If you were the most complicated, had a ton of different entities, wanted to meet more often than like once a week, then you might be at that higher end of the percentage. There's several different factors that go into that. But if you're just standard, it's probably going to be more to the 2 to 3% range.
That's okay, got
typically
it.
With people.
Nice. I like that. Awesome. $3,000 a month.
Yep, exactly.
We can afford that.
Yeah.
Barely.
That's why we wanted to do it, because most people are too small not to have someone, but too large not to have someone like this on their team, but too small to have the full-time.
Yeah, team. I love that. So going into some detail about this podcast, you knew that you needed to write this book. You had this company and all of this in ideal world, and at least in my ideal world, everything that we do has purpose. It's intentional. And so when we decide to write a book with Mike, there's a reason behind that. When we decide to start a podcast and put out content on a regular basis, there's some reason behind that. So could you share with us a little bit about like your journey? Why did you start a podcast? Was it because others told you you needed to? Was it because you had this vision of something? And what is it doing for your business, or what do you look for it to be doing for your business?
Sure. So for the podcast, when I started it, it was another way, because this was also came from, like you had mentioned, when I went to Mike and got the rights to that book and wanted to write that and partner with him. And so that spurred in my mind, like, I want to have a fractional CFO service to help people, like, do this with them, know their finances, but not everyone is making 500 to 10 million. What about the people that are just starting out? Like, I want to have something for them. So that's what spurred the book, because I'm like, everyone can get a $20 book or the Audible or an ebook for 10 bucks or whatever it is. I want to make sure that no one is cut off from this, from financially getting that help of if they want to implement it themselves, if they're small enough to do that. But then also the podcast was, I wanted that to be a boost, because on there, if you go to those episodes, it's a lot of hearing other people that have implemented Profit First or that have a fractional CFO, and just encouragement to people, because so many people are scared about talking about finances, either from their upbringing or they're embarrassed about where they are right now, or just from several reasons. So I wanted to bring entrepreneurs on to be able to say like, hey, we've done this. This is where we were. This is where we are now. This is how it's helped us tangibly be able to feel better about our money and be able to use it for why we wanted to use our money. Then I also have episodes in there about just the system and some of the, what we do, because I wanted to give another resource to not have people say there's no excuse for me to not be able to either go and do it, give it to the team, or know what's going on. So that was the real start of that podcast, was to give people who couldn't work with us at least some outlet of knowing how to set this up, because we've seen it over and over with the people we work with, just that things are transformed, their lives, their personal lives, their business lives, how they hire people, how they interact when they take vacations, just all this stuff. And I'm like, this is too good not to share. Like, I have this message of going out to wanting to make sure people have that information.
I really like that a lot. That's powerful. I was wondering if, like, during your book writing time and during your podcast, do you focus on or pay attention to these two things in both places or in either place, like seeding, talking about maybe some of your clients that you've worked with, some success story? Hey, I did this with this one person, like using those stories either in the book or the podcast, and also calls to actions, CTAs, I call them. So are you utilizing seeding and CTAs in either or both of those mediums?
In the book, yes. I want to give people the call to action in there that I have like free tools to use. Like if you're a solopreneur and you want to download some of those, which takes them to our site and we have it right there. And then you can see what we do as well. So that's in the book because I wanted to make sure people have not just the knowledge, but here's some tools. So that's definitely a call to action that leads to us and what we do. And then in our podcast, I've started interviewing our actual clients on there and are doing like a sub-series, like a client series. How has Profit First helped you? How has Simple CFO helped you? Talking about the finances. So yes. And whenever I'm on podcasts or speaking on ours, I try to say, here's what has helped our clients, or like, here's some of the stories, because we've got some awesome stories behind the scenes of some just complete transformations of people going through this process. So yes, I try and throw stories out as much as possible. We probably on the podcast don't do call to actions as much as we should. Probably need to record new intros, outros, but yeah, not doing a good job, I would say, on my podcast of the calls to action.
Got it. I think this is for the listener's benefit. I think it's important to have some sort of call to action if we can on every single episode. And calls to action can be as simple as, if you really like this, let me know what you think by leaving an honest rating and review. Or it could be as simple as, if you like talking about fractional CFO, if you're interested in getting more, I'm putting an affiliate Amazon link and I'm putting an affiliate Audible link down in the show notes right now. And by the way, to my editor, we're actually doing this to David's book. So you can go to the next level. And not that I care about making a couple of pennies here or there, but the point would be that's a benefit to our listener right now. Is you're interested in this, you want to know more, buy a $20 book and get to know more, right? And get it so that, I mean, at worst, you're going to be netting an extra $1,000 a month. Is it worth $20 to do that?
Right.
Scroll down now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So any call to action, I think, is beneficial. It doesn't have to be get my free PDF. It doesn't have to be join my program. It can be, hey, if you liked what you learned today, go take steps toward it. That's a good enough call to action, I would say. Yeah. David, when did you start this podcast? I know you're a little over 60 episodes in. What was like the date, or how many months ago did you start it?
I believe it was, I talked with Mike July of 2020. So I believe it was the next month, August of 2020. So a little bit over a year now. And I think behind the scenes we're up to, just recorded my 80th episode yesterday. So
cool.
Oh yeah. And I think I've got more than 20 booked out for the rest of the year. So we'll hit that 100 mark at least on our back end before the end of the year. So yeah, it's just very exciting. So it's been about a little bit over a year now.
Pros and cons, benefits and drawbacks of having a podcast, if you don't mind.
The biggest pro is networking, I believe. You're giving other people a platform to share, and that's a huge win for them. Like, I want to provide value to the actual host as well. The other big benefit is I love having people on that do provide value and will provide value to the listeners too. So it's like that screening process of who do I want to interview? Who do I want to have on the show? And then also, can they provide value? And do I believe in them and their processes? And I know that they're going to deliver. And it's like, I want to provide value both ways, because then I'm connecting them with a good group of listeners. And they're also, the listeners are hearing from someone who's the real deal. So I feel like it's a great networking opportunity. How can I serve them past the podcast? And then what are they providing to the listeners as well too?
Yeah. A couple of good things. One, biggest pros, networking with other people, having them on your show, getting to know them. Now they're your friends. Now you have their cell phone numbers, these types of things. And the second one you said is you just like basically being the connector is what I think I heard, being the connector where you're supporting good people and helping other good people simultaneously. And there's a good feeling that comes from leaving a legacy, adding value to others. And when we feel like we're doing a good job and contributing and giving back, that's a huge, huge benefit. What about any drawbacks? What have you hated about starting it? What were you nervous about? What held you back, if anything? Did you make any mistakes that we might be able to share with the listener?
I probably made a lot of mistakes and probably still am, but it's the, I guess I don't really have that fear of not starting and just getting it and going. Because like the first couple episodes didn't have any setup or anything, just opened Zoom and started recording. But from there, it's grown into more of an intentional. It's more intentional of who do we have on there? How is it going to be done? What time slots? Because at the beginning, probably the biggest thing that I make the mistake on was like when I gave people the link and just gave them the link for whatever time throughout the week and just basically had them controlling my calendar, which I didn't like. So
can you repeat that? Because our listener must hear this right now.
One of the biggest mistakes I made personally for my peace of mind was I opened up my calendar Monday through Friday to any open slots, which was a huge mistake because now they were controlling my calendar instead of me. So what I did to correct that was on our back end system of how we schedule the podcast, I did it specific times, specific days to be like, well, this is when I'm going to record, or I'll have those open slots for other things as well, which has definitely saved my sanity as a podcast host. Because now with the book launching and everything that we're doing, ton of people coming on the podcast, but I'm scheduled out now through the end of December with podcasts, but it's only because I do 2 days at two different times and I don't just have anyone at any time on my podcast.
So let's go into this just for a moment here. Me, I do every Wednesday and I do 7 open slots and my calendar maxes out at 6. So I at least have one break.
Yeah.
So every Wednesday, my whole team knows it's the middle of the week. I've already on Monday, I was able to put out fires that happen over the weekend, every weekend. On Tuesday, I was able to do what I needed on Tuesday. Now it feels like a work day. I'm caught up on emails. On Wednesday, I rarely travel on a Wednesday. So I'm setting up all my stuff on Wednesday. It's in the middle of the week. It makes it easy. On Thursday is coaching calls and things like that. And on Friday, it's like, man, I got to get ready for a weekend is how I do it. So Wednesday, and I try to record, and I'm like you, you've got 20 ahead and we have like 10 months of pre-recorded content already because we've got like over 100, just it's nuts. The thought is, I think that it's beneficial that David, you do record more than you publish. So you're ahead of the game and not ever behind the eight ball, stressed out, freaking out. And, oh, I've got to publish something tomorrow. So that's one big takeaway that I got. I do the same thing and I recommend it. I'm doing all of mine on Wednesdays. I have a client who does 3 hours on a Wednesday, 2 hours on a Thursday. And that's the only two openings that she has. When do you do it and why?
Wednesdays and Thursday afternoons. So I do that because those are usually open times in my calendar that I already have preset. And like, it was an intentional decision when I first did that of looking at my calendar, looking at the data, because I'm a data person. So I looked at the data from my previous weeks of like, when are the times in my calendar that I usually either have downtime or are not as hectic, or I'm not getting as much just stuff from the business. And right now is like Wednesday afternoon, Thursday afternoon. So that's what I set up those slots, but it's something I reevaluate. I'm going to reevaluate it here at the end of this quarter, because I want to see with especially recording a lot more over this quarter, just because of the hype around what we're doing, that, okay, do I need to reevaluate that, take that down to 1 day or take that down to just one afternoon or a whole day just for podcasting? So something that I'm going to continuously reevaluate. But that first time was like, okay, now I have some data. These are the open times that I can set there. And then if I have any openings at that time, great. It's just sometime I can do a think break or something like that.
Is it difficult to justify the time that the podcast takes? Is it obvious that it's working and doing something for the business? If you don't mind, where are you with that? Because I know our listener could relate.
Oh, yeah. So if you are very intentional with what you want out of the podcast, then it'll probably help you more to get the result that you want. From my podcast, it is about networking. So I don't ever see it as a wasted time because I'm talking with other people that I want to talk to. So I don't ever see it like that. But I will say it does have the ancillary benefit of attracting the proper clients too. We have had multiple people fill out applications from our podcast because they listen to us, and they're usually the better type of clients as well too. They're ready. They hear our mentalities and how we work with people, and they're geared to go basically. So it does help a lot from that aspect as well. But that's, to me, is the ancillary benefit of what my real benefit was, is that, like you said, the connection. So I never feel like it's a waste of time.
It's really cool what you just said, and I want to go stay there for just a moment. One of the things that you're mentioning is that when you started your podcast, you were intentional. So I want to extract that and let the listener know everything that we're going to be doing needs to be done with intention. Your intention is connecting and networking and adding value to others. And there has been this ancillary benefit. And one of the other things that you mentioned is when they call you, they're ready to go. And here's some reasons why when you have your podcast and you're doing it with intention, people are going to be calling you and they're ready to go. A, it takes generally 6 to 13 times to hear somebody's message before you start to trust them. Now, David has 60 plus, almost 80 episodes published. So A, his listener has the ability to really trust him. I know I've had, and I can pretty much guarantee David's had, people that get on the phone with him and say, I feel like I know you.
Yeah.
Have you ever had that?
Oh, yeah. And it's the weirdest feeling because I didn't even think of that when I first started because my intention was connecting, networking. And when people said, you know, I've downloaded a bunch of your episodes and just have it playing in the car all the time, I'm like, oh, wow. They're like, yeah, I feel like I know you. So yeah, this is interesting, you know, like to actually hear that, especially when we're saying we want to help them and now we're trying to bring value back to them. I'm like, this is incredible because they already feel like they know me. So yeah, I've had that a couple of times.
And at the same time, they are more qualified than many of other people that you're reaching out to. And I think that the takeaway there is that as far as the research that I've done, and you may have done the same research, David, is that the people that are listening to podcasts generally have a higher net worth than some of the people that are, like, for example, watching YouTube. And I believe wholeheartedly that a reason why that is because these are people that are busy. They are high performers, high achievers, and they understand that not only can I get my workout in, but I can also learn something. Not only can I be cooking dinner for the kids, but I can also be learning how to make my business more profitable first, for example. And those tend to be higher earners in the country are the people that listen to podcasts. And I think that that's pretty interesting. So you not only have these people that have gotten to know you, even when you didn't even really have that conversation with them, like knowing who they were. But secondly, because they generally are making the amount of money that would be perfect for your client anyway. So I think that those two takeaways are really helpful for our listener as well about starting their podcast.
One more benefit, I run a fractional CFO service. So the people that work with us are CFOs or financial advisors, or they know about the finances. But saying that, I've had people that want to work with Simple CFO say they've listened to the podcast. So these are like people that want to know us. So these are like, it could be an employee for you, or it could be someone that you work with, a contractor, vendor, or whatnot. If you have this information, that tells them who you are, what your culture is. They start to hear, do they want to actually work with you? And it's not just another transactional type relationship. And I've had people that come on board as CFOs say, I've listened to a ton of your podcasts. I love what you're doing. I love like hearing the stories of the clients, and I want to help. I want to help those clients to get to the places where you're getting them. And so that's been another benefit that I just thought of. It's not just clients and it's not just the networking, but it's people who want to join the team. This is an outlet because these are high achievers, high earners that want to be a part of the team and say, we've heard you on your podcast. So that's another benefit as well too.
So David, I think what I'm hearing is that the third benefit is that people can easily vet your company, whether they either want to work with you or they want to work for you. Is that kind of what you're saying?
That is exactly what I'm saying. It's a great way for them to be able to listen to whether or not they like who we are as a company and as a person.
I've since sold this podcast. My first podcast was a real estate podcast. I have sold that. But one thing is, I went to a conference and there was this wealthy person. He had a business that easily fits within what you're doing, a couple million a year. And he and I had a couple of cocktails together. He just, it's such a great guy. He's actually one of my favorite people in the world now. The point is, we're sitting having a couple of cocktails And I did this on purpose. I will be honest. I mentioned it on purpose. I'm looking for opportunities to mention my podcast sometimes when I'm sitting with somebody that might be a good fit. And I said to this guy, because I knew that he was a passive investor in real estate deals, and I wanted more passive investors. So when he said something like, oh, this and this and this, I go, you know, if you listen to my podcast, episode 100 and something, there is a really good episode that I think you might like because, and then I give him the reason. And what ended up happening is this guy listened. I didn't really know this because it was kind of in the background. We met at a conference. And then he called me on my cell phone 3 months later, I think. And he said, Adam, I've listened to 60 of your episodes. Now I want to work with you. Now I want to work with you. 60 episodes.
Wow.
It took him because he's a bridge engineer, by the way. Engineers are very like, here's the data and here's the math on this. And so it wasn't all emotion. So it took him 60 times instead of the 6 to 13 we discussed before to finally be able to trust who we are. But it came because he vetted us based on and started partnering with us on deals and putting money into our company because of listening to a bunch of those. So awesome, awesome. Vetting is a third really good thing. And again, it's either if they want to do business with you or actually be in your business as a worker. So I thought that was really interesting. If you had to do it all over again, now that you've learned what you've learned over the last 80-ish episodes recorded and 100 episodes ready to go in the future that are already pre-scheduled, let's just pretend like you burned it down and you started today. What do you think would be your approach now?
My approach now would be the schedule. Make sure I did the schedule first, making sure that I don't go crazy at the beginning. Then I would say, secondly, is still being intentional about the networking, who I want on the podcast, and having the better calls to action. And what are we trying to direct people to? Because I will say, I believe one of the, if I burned it down, I would still do one thing I do at the end of every episode. I ask, how can people, now you've provided a lot of value as a guest, how can they provide value back to you? And like just always making sure, what value can we connect here? What is that connection? So I would say the big thing is the schedule. And then the second thing is definitely the calls to action. I have to be a lot better about that.
I want to talk about that because I'm just curious. What makes me most curious about it is that there's been a couple of people, now they don't word it exactly the same as you. You've got your own style.
Oh yeah.
However, I've been on many podcasts that at the end of the show, they'll ask something like that. How can the listener find you? What do you want the listener to know? How can the listener add value to you? However you want to phrase it. I've been asked that. And the truth is, I feel awkward. I'm like, dang it. I don't want to sell myself. I don't want to pitch myself. I don't want to mention anything. I wanted this to be all about just me giving and not about me receiving. And now David's making me turn this around and now I look like an asshole. It might not be that bad, but I get choked up. I'm like, I have to say my own stuff now. And I don't really love it. And I'm just curious, A, do any of your guests seem to squirm and squeamish like the I am when I have to self-promote? And B, what are some of the great answers that you've heard? Because that'll help me next time I'm on a podcast. And of course, our listener is going to be on tons of podcasts too.
I frame it, I believe, well, because before we get on the podcast, I ask them, this is my last question. So be prepared for that or tell me if you don't want me to do that. And I've had no one say, I don't want to do that. So, but then at the end, I'm usually building them up throughout the episode because these are people, like I said, I'm very intentional about wanting to network with and be with, and because I know them. So I'm building them up. I'm building them up as the authority through what they do and that I believe in them. I trust them. Then at the end, I say, how can you provide value back? Then they're very comfortable because I've been building them up, framing it like that, that they say, either go to my site or some people have given their cell phone number on there or their email address because of how we're framing it and what the types of listeners that we have. So they're doing that. And then I ask as well too, it doesn't have to be something that you're selling. Do you need a connection? Do you need something right now that maybe someone in the audience has and you're looking for? And so that's where I frame it to where they can give an answer in several different ways, whether it's promoting themselves or if it's just like, you know what, I actually do, I need a marketer right now, or I need this team member or whatever. So it's like giving them an opportunity to provide value back and forth there and connect with whoever's listening.
David, my biggest takeaway from that is that you prep us ahead of time. So we don't have our deer in the headlights look and be like, I don't know. I don't know. What should I say? Should I even say anything? We're able to think about it and consider because you brought it up in the very beginning. I think that's genius. That's really great. I'm curious if these are affiliate relationships. For example, you mentioned that you want to promote them. You believe in them. And when I want to promote somebody and believe in them, I'm like, how can this be a win-win? How can I move people toward it and also have like a 10% or any other percent on what business goes to that person? And I'm just wondering, do you try to stay far from affiliate relationships, or do you ever have affiliate relationships with your guests?
I am not opposed to it. I, at this point, because it hasn't been my focus, have done a poor job of getting the links, or like usually I'm just sending them right there without any, it's just right to their website. So I am not opposed to it at all, because I would want the same thing. Like if you come on here and promote my book or whatever, The Profit First for Real Estate Investing, like I want you to share in that. And I don't think anyone, it's not going to raise the value, the price for anyone on the other end. So it's like, I am not opposed to that at all, but I've just done I self-admittedly have done a terrible job of doing the affiliate type relationships.
I think there's a lot of ways to make money through having a podcast. There are many people that I have had a conversation with that they seem to be completely against making money through their podcast. They feel like if I make money through my podcast, then I'm doing it for the wrong reason. I'm not leaving that legacy I wanted to. I'm selling myself out. I completely disagree. And I don't remember the episode numbers, but I think it's episode 5 and 10. My editor will do a lot better job than me. They'll find those two episodes, but they teach how to make money. And there's a whole bunch of ways to make money. And then secondly, you've got to be okay to make money on the podcast. And I just truly believe that multiple streams of income are beneficial. So even though, like for you, David, you haven't been intentional that direction yet, I think that you could be making money by having clients come in. You could be making money by selling products or services. You could be selling ad space with people that connect with your audience and add value to your audience. Or you could be doing also some affiliate relationships with the people that you truly believe in. And so there's all sorts of ways to make money. And I wanted to point that out. And I will say that when I do affiliate relationships, I try my hardest to let my listener know, like you buy David's book with the link that I have in the show notes, for example, I might make 50 cents. And so full disclosure, but I loved what you said, David. If it's not going to cost your listener any more money, they're not paying a premium on top. Or even if they can get a discount, if like you can get like, all right, I want a first call for free, or I want a, you know, 10% off the first payment or something like that, only for my listeners, and they could set that up. I think I'm only doing what you said, which is like, hey guys, I might make 50 cents, but you don't have to pay any more for that. Right. But I think it would be also beneficial to say, hey, I worked something out with this guest where you can save X amount of percent or money by using the link that I've got in the show notes or something. So I wanted to point that out.
Oh, yeah.
David, what's next for you? Like, what's the next step? What is your next focus on your business and your podcast?
Yeah. So the business, we are very laser focused on attracting more CFOs and more clients right now. That is what we're doing. I was going to go down the education route, maybe do some courses around Profit First RII. We've shut all that down because we've seen the success we've had with our clients and the attractiveness of bringing on the right CFOs who have the same values, who listen to the podcast, who know and want to help people. So we're at a sprint now for the next 3 years. We want to get to 100 CFOs and helping 400 clients in a month on a monthly basis. We wanted to get to a sizable fractional CFO company just because of what we've been able to do so far with people. And that's really the next thing on the horizon. As far as the podcast, I need to take the advice I've gotten here and be more intentional with the relationships on those episodes. But I would love to continue the journey of, as people see those breakthroughs and transformations, having them on the podcast and keep pumping out the content for knowing that you don't have to be stuck in the rat race and there's ways out, especially if you have a current business.
I'm going to ask you the best podcasting advice that you have. And we're going to take a break. And when we get back, that's when you're going to share your biggest gem. We'll be right back. Hey, my friend, as you know, this episode is sponsored by my company, growyourshow.com. We want you to be able to have the best tools at your disposal without costing you a whole arm and a leg. So right now you can get a free list of vetted equipment that like mics, mixers, webcams, sound treatment, editing software, everything that you need. I created the whole PDF with direct purchase links just to save you time and money to help it be more convenient for you. So this free PDF will help you skip all the guesswork. If it's on there, it's vetted and approved by yours truly. And if it's not on there, it's probably not worth the money. So go ahead and get yours at growyourshow.com/PDF. Let's get back into the show. We're back with David Richter, the author of The Profit First for Real Estate Investors and the host of Profit First for REI. David, with all of the experience that you had, can you pour into the listener, what is your absolute best advice for new podcasters?
Make sure, number one, like we've said, you're intentional about what the result is for the podcast, but you're always thinking, how can I help the guest on the show and the listener? Making sure, if you are always thinking, what's in it for them? That's those magic words for anything in all of life, including relationships, your personal and professional. But thinking about that on your podcast, what's in it for them? How can I build them up, build up that guest, have people that you share values with, that you believe in, and then being able to have the listener take an active role of, if you want to have more information with this person or go down this pathway, this is what you can do with them as well too. I think just having that win-win and what's in it for them mentality has been extremely beneficial in that if you're just starting out, will take you very far.
David, you can officially drop your mic. Boom.
Boom.
That was awesome. Appreciate having you. And for calls to action, if you want the book, there's an affiliate link. Scroll down. You can either do Audible like I do because I'm dyslexic, or you can do the actual physical book. Those links are in the show notes. I'll have my team make sure that they are there. Additionally, David's the link to his company in case you're looking for the same services. That's down in the show notes too. So you can scroll down, get his bio and connect with David as well. And so many ways that you can connect with him. There is a free resource he's doing as well for real estate investors who, and I know a lot of them, I'll be honest with you. I was certainly one of them. And I've got some friends today that are like, I'm making $1 million a month, but I'm spending like 500 grand in ads a month. And my overhead is like, I'm losing 200 grand when I'm making a million. If you want to make sure that you're pulling the highest amount of profits through your real estate business, certainly recommend the Profit First for Real Estate Investors podcast. That link is also in the show notes. David, I appreciate you coming on. I actually truthfully would love to work with you. So I'm looking at the things that you do, and it's certainly something that would fit well for our team. We're just in that pocket on the lower end of the pocket where you're talking. And it seems like you really offer a really good value, and your other clients that you've worked with have gotten to a really good place. And so I appreciate you coming on. Maybe I'll set up an affiliate relationship with you sometime. But for now, I do sincerely want the listener to know that I recommend what you're doing, and I think you have full integrity. So we'll leave it there. All right. We'll see you guys on the very next episode. Bye for now. You know, I really don't say this nearly enough. I don't mention this, and I feel horrible because it's a great resource for you to be able to take your podcast to the next level. And it's simply a free resource that I don't need your email or anything. It's just a podcasting course that I created that is ended up putting in the very first 6 episodes of this podcast. So if you haven't checked it out, definitely going to want to just check out those first six episodes, see how they can help you improve your podcast, get in front of more people, and have a better result where you're making more money through the podcast, etc. So much can happen after you listen through episodes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So if you haven't done it, go do it now. And by the way, if you're subscribed, you'll keep hearing more great content. So to those of you who are, I'll see you on the next episode.